yeah, it's time for another episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Woo, all right.
Yeah, that mesmerizing guitar solo right there brought to you by Hardcore Superstar. Great way to start off this show, right?
Yeah, that was a fun song.
Yeah.
And you said you had mentioned that you just discovered them.
Yeah, I literally just found them out through a couple of friends of mine over at the radio station I work at. And I've gotten addicted to them. That's Hardcore Superstar providing us the intro guitar riff for our episode today.
It's a very catchy tune.
Yeah, it is. So check them out if you're interested in that. That's a pretty good riff and a good way to start off this show. I feel rocking now.
That's right.
Also, on an interesting note, that band, Hardcore Superstar,
right,
is from the great land of Sweden.
I'm going to Disneyland, Disneyland, Disneyland. Come and go to Disneyland, all you people living in Sweden.
So Gary Busey says hi.
We have a Gary Busey clip for everything, don't we?
Just about, yeah.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
Woo! Thank you, Gary Busey.
Well, I know. Before that, I didn't have that ability.
Yeah, I don't know what I did with myself.
It was very depressing.
Yeah.
But now we're allowed to be happy, I guess.
Yeah. And we are happy doing the Crispy Noodle Podcast, one of our favorite thing to do.
Oh, we always have so much fun doing this.
Yeah.
How are you, Rich? How have you been?
I'm good. Well, yeah, let's get the intros going. Yeah. I'm Rich Liebig.
And I'm Michael Costanzo.
And let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news, because we need to make things interesting in the news scene, right?
That's right. That's right. Just tune in every week to get the latest in sports, entertainment, and odd news.
That's right. So anyway, yeah, I'm doing good, Mike. We had a little bit of a mini break.
We did.
We were on a delayed production schedule, if you want to call it that. took a trip to go see my girlfriend's family down on the Eastern Shore of Maryland, and inadvertently became a guest host on the Good Clean Fun Life podcast.
Yeah, I actually gave it a listen. It was pretty good.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a lot of fun doing that. That is a mini podcast. It's just a what's going on in the Delmarva Peninsula, because there are some happening events going on down there. It's kind of forgotten. You know, because everyone tends to just go right to the shore if you're right around that area. But that whole peninsula has some fascinating, events going on and venues to check out. So that's what the purpose of that podcast is. And I crashed it, apparently. So I inadvertently became a guest host. But thank you to Good Clean Fun Life for having me on. That's what I did during our little mini vacation. How about you? What did you do?
Not much. I watched Argo.
Woo!
Finally.
That was a good movie.
It was a good movie. I think it was definitely deserving of Best Picture. That was basically it. I worked during the week. I put a couple of articles up on the website.
Yeah.
Check them out.
You got some funny articles. I feel.
I'm trying to provide the goods for the people.
He is. If you haven't checked out thecrispynoodle.com for our written articles, definitely do that.
Yeah, we try and keep that updated regularly.
Yeah, we have a good mix of serious articles and then just goofy news that we make up.
Fake news articles, yeah. That's right.
But it's a good thing to read if you're bored at work or something. You know, you need to pass like 5 minutes or something.
Yeah, it's a good read. It's a good thing just to do on the lunch break, you know? Just check out the Crispy Noodle and see what's happening.
So make sure you do that. Anyway, in the meantime, thank you for checking out our podcast. And let us get to the planned schedule. Because God knows we're going to probably venture at some point away from the main schedule.
You say planned schedule like it's a thing that we actually adhere to.
Yeah, what's an outline? we don't do that.
I swear we actually do have an outline.
Really?
Following it, that's another matter altogether.
Every time I have something ready, we keep going off on a different tangent, and then I have to go back and I lose it. That's something I've said in frustration because we deviate so much.
On several occasions.
On several occasions, yes.
Before we get too off track, let's dive right on into the sports sampler.
Ah, good idea. So yeah, let's just go right for it. What do you got, Mike?
Well, some football news, which is odd because it's the off season, but this is still important because Brian Urlacher, one of the biggest names in football right now, has announced his retirement.
Wow.
As you know, one of the best defensive players in the league the past
decade. A lot of defensive players.
Yeah.
We lost. It makes it sound like we died. but Ray Lewis retired.
Ray Lewis retired. That's right.
So now Brian Urlacher's bright in the dust. So yeah, he was just a feared defenseman for the Bears. You always had to worry about him as an offensive coordinator.
Patrolling the middle there. He was a middle linebacker. Yeah. And the middle linebacker in football, if people don't know, is the quarterback of the defense.
Yeah.
They run the defense. It's their show. They control everything. They're the most important piece on the field on defense. So for the Bears to lose him, that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, lose him.
It is. It's a big deal. I would agree with that.
Yeah.
And also, you know, just for the Bears defense, he's just been a presence for so long.
A leader.
A leader, yeah. He was like a Brian Dawkins of the Bears defense. So it's very, it's definitely going to hurt the Bears. But he was getting old. I think he had an injury, too, last year or 2 years ago. He had a pretty big injury, and people thought he was going to retire right after that.
Yeah, I do remember that. I don't remember what the injury was, but I'm just looking at the article here. He had a 13-year career. That's pretty long for a defensive player.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's when everybody thought Brian Dawkins was going to retire with the Eagles. Then he went on and played another 3 years. But middle linebacker, I mean, you're in the thick of it every single play.
Yeah. It was just somebody you always had to account for when you thought of the Bears' defense.
Yeah.
So it's definitely definitely sad to see him retire. Also a shame that, you know, the Bears couldn't win the Super Bowl for him, you know?
Yeah. They made it to the Super Bowl against the Colts that 1 year, but unfortunately...
yeah. I'm sorry. No matter how good your defense is, you're going to have a problem if Rex Grossman is your quarterback. That fucking sucked. Yeah, that Super Bowl did suck.
It did. I still say that's the only reason the Colts won that year.
Oh, yeah. I agree with you.
Rex Grossman made the Pro Bowl that year, Rich. He was an all-star quarterback, one of the best that's ever played.
Really?
At least for that 1 year.
Oh, my God.
That was the state of the NFL back then.
What the hell happened to the NFL that year? That was a weird year.
I think most of the teams just decided to take the year off.
I think there's a lot of injuries that year.
Probably. I know the Eagles were plagued with injuries, and that was the T.O. debacle year.
Yeah. I think that was also the year Brady got hurt, too.
Was it?
I think.
Probably.
Maybe.
Well, if the Patriots weren't in it, then that was probably the year. We might be wrong.
I don't know. Yeah, don't hold us accountable.
Don't quote us on that.
Sorry. But anyway, Bears going to have to say goodbye to Brian Urlacher. Pretty big name.
Yeah, like you said, a huge fixture on that team. I'm just looking at some of the accolades that he has. 2000 Defensive Rookie of the Year, 2005 Defensive Player of the Year, an 8-time Pro Bowler, and a 4-time All-Pro.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's impressive.
Yeah. Besides winning a Super Bowl, there's nothing else that you could add to that resume.
Yeah. That's a pretty impressive player card.
Do you think it'll be enough for a Hall of Fame?
I think so, because defensive players aren't regarded in terms of how many Super Bowls they've won.
Yeah, usually
only
not.
See that with quarterbacks, which is odd.
Well, because you usually see the quarterback as the leader of the team.
Right. But why is the Super Bowl... I mean, why are only quarterbacks judged in that regard?
Because
there have been great quarterbacks that haven't won, like Dan Marino.
Yeah, and he's in.
Somebody might argue Donovan McNabb. I know Donovan McNabb would argue Donovan McNabb.
Yeah. Donovan McNabb would say he had the hardest road ever of a starting quarterback ever. Ever.
Woe is him. We should bust out the violins.
Ever.
Ever. But I'm just saying, for a team sport, everybody says, oh, it's all about the team. It's all about the team. But really, what those people are saying, it's not about the team. It's 52 players and then the quarterback. Like, there's this special aura around the quarterback.
I mean, I feel like you have to admit that the quarterback is a special role.
It is.
It is.
But then why do people say defenses win championships? If defenses win championships, then put in every quarterback.
Because you still need to score.
Right. True. Then why do they say defenses win quarterbacks?
Example, the Chicago Bears. They had the best defense you could buy, but they
Rex Grossman made it to the Pro Bowl that year, Rich.
Again. That fucking sucked. You could have the best defense, but if you don't have an offense that'll at least get you some points on the board, you're not going to win.
That's true. Well, then they should stop saying that, then, that defenses win championships.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It's probably the most important, you know, one of the most important parts of assembling a Super Bowl winning team. But it's not
all everything. The parts are important. If you don't have special teams, you're going to fall apart. If you don't have a good running game, you're going to fall apart. Yes. That's why
special teams. See, San Diego Chargers.
No, I mean, it's God. It's the most team oriented sport, I think, in my opinion. Other people might have a different opinion, but I think it's the most team-oriented sport.
Yeah. Even special teams, you know. Something, you know. A couple mistakes, special teams could cost you a game.
Right.
See, San Diego Chargers. I think, what was it, 2 years ago, they were ranked number one in offense and defense, but
and then,
they had the worst special teams.
Dead last
in
special teams, yeah.
Yep, and they only went 9-7 or something, and they didn't make the playoffs.
I still stand by what I say, that they are the... They're the most underachieving
team. That would, yeah. And that would be a fair assessment.
They are.
They've had...
They are stacked on offense and defense.
And
stacked.
Yep, but they can't put it together on special teams.
Yeah.
They're the team that does the stupid fumble on a kickoff, and the other team returns it for 7 points, and then a punt return or blocked field goal or something. And
yeah.
Boom, there's 14 easy points.
Yep.
You know, you can't win games if you're shooting yourself in the hole 14 times. You know?
That's true.
That causes your foot to get shot off. And that's not good.
And nobody's playing any football on one foot.
Nobody's playing any football on one foot. All right.
Ronnie Lott played football with a missing finger, though.
Okay.
We were talking about missing body parts. Radical. How does that even fit?
I don't know.
I lost a finger. Radical.
I don't know. I thought you thought it was cool.
Well, it is kind of cool. So I guess it does fit.
Praise the glorious leader. There, I could have went with that. That went with that. Are you happy?
That doesn't fit. The other one sort of fit.
All right.
Speaking of praising glorious leaders, our other topic that we wanted to talk about is somebody that's near and dear to you.
Yes. And I got the perfect transition for this.
Okay. All right?
As opposed to other transitions that I've done in the past. All right. Okay. That was one of my transitions on last week's podcast. I am the king of transitioning on podcasts, apparently. All right. Okay.
It's so anticlimactic. Yeah, okay.
Oh. But anyway, I got the perfect. I have a much better transition than that.
Okay.
So Brian Urlacher, you know, he's retiring. It made the news.
Right.
Someone made this brilliant image, GIF.
Whoa.
We'll get to that later. We'll get to that later. A brilliant GIF that shows it was one of Brett Favre's last games, and Brian Urlacher just goes for a blitz and just knocks the crap out of Brett Favre. Like, Brett Favre goes right on his ass, and Brian Urlacher just stands over him, and the animated GIF freezes to Brian Urlacher looking over Brett Favre, and then text come up on the screen, and it looks like Brian Urlacher's talking, and the guy put in as Brian Urlacher saying to Brett Favre, "That's how you retire, bitch." So
he's got a point.
He's got a point. At least Brian Urlacher's going to retire. He's going to retire right.
Well, any retirement compared to Brett Favre's is a good retirement.
Yeah.
That fucking sucked.
It did. His retirement sucked.
But another aspect of him retiring is his legacy in Green Bay, which
it's always been up in the air.
Right, which is what we wanted to talk about now. Aaron Rodgers has come out, and he said that he wants Green Bay to retire Brett Favre's number.
That's pretty big of Aaron Rodgers. You know, Aaron Rodgers, all because of Brett Favre, had to sit on that bench, you know, for 3 seasons, I believe, before he got substantial amount of play.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then, on top of that, when the whole debacle went down, whether or not Brett Favre's retiring or not, people always compared Aaron Rodgers to Brett Favre. You know, would he ever be as good as Brett Favre? Would he ever surpass him?
Always living in a shadow, at least for those early years.
Oh, yeah. So that's pretty big of Aaron Rodgers to come out and say he still wants to see Favre's number retired as a Green Bay Packer.
Yeah, he says it's time for the healing process to begin, and he hopes the quarterback's number 4 can be retired by the team before he is inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So
that's pretty big of him.
That is.
And I got to admit, that it is the right thing to do. No matter how humiliating it was to see Brett Favre on the Jets and then the Vikings, Brett Favre will go down in the history book as a Packer. When you
16
think,
years.
Yeah, when you think of Brett Favre, you think of Packers, you know?
Yeah, you can't help but think of the Packers and Brett Favre as synonymous.
Oh, yeah.
For 16 years, he was...
The face of the franchise.
The face of the franchise, that gunslinger, you know,
yeah,
in Green Bay.
The traditional gunslinger. he was the quarterback I admired growing up, and I'm not ashamed to admit that.
I know. You are a Brett Favre fan through and through.
You know, when I first started following football, he was the man on top. You know, he had just won the Super Bowl. You know, he was the guy to beat.
Yeah. And John Madden is a fan of Brett Favre, too, as we know.
Yes, of course.
Brett Favre is one of those guys that when he's hot, he can really be hot. Brett Favre throws as well as anyone. He throws better than anyone. What the heck am I talking about? He's the darndest guy I've ever seen. He can pick up a baseball with his foot.
Yeah, don't forget that. Brett Favre can pick up a baseball with his foot.
For that reason and that reason alone.
He should go into football Hall of Fame. And the Baseball Hall of Fame.
There you go.
Yeah.
Would that be the first person to be Cross Sports Hall of Fame?
I don't know. Because wasn't Deion Sanders in both?
I know he played. I don't know if he's in the Hall of Fame.
No? I don't know.
He played baseball.
He did. Yeah, he played both football and baseball.
Is he in the Football Hall of Fame? I think.
I don't know.
Has enough time passed?
That's a good question.
That is a good question. Yeah, I'd like to see Brett Favre in the Baseball Hall of Fame for being able to pick up a baseball with his foot.
Yeah.
I want to see them try and explain
put,
that one.
Put that on the bronze plate next to his name.
Picks up baseball with foot. Incredible.
Wow.
Wow. See here, Timmy? This was Brett Favre. He didn't actually play, but he could pick up the baseball with his foot, Timmy. With his foot, I'm telling you.
It is accomplished.
Yeah.
I can just picture him with the baseball in his foot, and he's just staring at it. It is accomplished.
That's right. There you go. Sandra Cohen can make a statue for him.
That is a crazy induction ceremony.
Yep, Sandra Cohen.
It is accomplished.
Thank you, Sandra Cohen. But anyway, so I think that's definitely, to go back to Aaron Rodgers, that really...
That's a classy move.
It's a classy move, yes.
And it's the right move, too, like you said.
Yeah, because Brett Favre will go down as a Packer when you think
right.
of him, you know?
Right,
even though he had some success with the Vikings, almost going to the Super Bowl that I think it was the first year as a Viking.
Yeah, but nowhere near as much success as with the Packers.
Oh yeah, of course not. Packer, he's definitely going to be a Packer through and through.
I mean, even if he didn't have the level of success that he did, he's still, when you're with a team for 16 years, and you put up those, when you're that big in that area, that's something to be acknowledged for, I think.
Yeah. Street's named after him.
Really?
I believe so, yeah. There's a Brett Favre Street. Yeah.
Brett Favre Avenue. Brett Favre
Something
Boulevard.
Like yeah. Brett Favre Boulevard. Yeah.
I like it because it's got the two B's in it.
Yeah. Good alliteration on there.
Yeah.
Thank you, English class.
See, they said we would use this stuff.
Yeah.
Me fail English? That's impossible.
Is that from The Simpsons?
Yes.
Yeah,
Ralph Wiggum.
My cat's name is Mittens.
just as good.
Another Ralph Wiggum quote. All right, so there you go. Little taste of the sports sampler for you for this week.
It really is just a little taste.
Right now we're in the... otherwise non-football news, the hockey and the hockey and basketball playoffs are in full swing.
Right.
We will probably find out next week who's in the NBA finals. Hockey, I think hockey still has a little bit more time to go on that.
Yeah.
So, and then baseball, we're a month and a half into the season.
Yeah.
So.
It's one of those weird sort of lull periods where there's nothing major to mention and, you know,
but of course, if something major does happen, you can count on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right.
To let you know.
Don't go to ESPN or Sports Illustrated. Go to the Crispy Noodle.
Yes. And go to our wacky articles.
Yes.
All right. So anyway, there you go. That's our little taste of the sports sampler for this week.
So you know what that brings us to now. It brings us to the side dish.
Yeah.
That sound means it's time for our wacky side dish.
And this is something you had mentioned at the beginning of the Brett Favre segment. Yes.
Good tease.
Yes.
I'm good at teasing.
So.
Whoa, hey. not that kind of teasing. Just teasing as for a future segment, of course.
Oh, okay.
I did not mean the act of taking your clothes off. Anyway, keep...
Anyway.
Well, yeah, what's...
That was strange.
Yes. What's in our side dish? What's in our first side dish?
We have a bit of a controversy going on right now in the tech world about...
What?
Yes. It is very dramatic. Apparently, you had mentioned a format of picture or animation on the internet called a GIF, which is a short little... Well, what is an actual... What is the definition of a GIF? It's like a moving picture. It's like a video, but not quite a video.
Well, I mean, a GIF is actually just a type of image.
It's a looped image, right?
Well, it doesn't have... An animated GIF is.
Right, an animated GIF.
A GIF itself can be any picture. GIF is spelled G-I-F. And it stands for Graphics Interchange Format.
Ah.
It's a type of way to save an image file.
However, we've been saying GIF, but the creator of this format says it's pronounced GIF, as in the peanut butter. Right. He said it's a soft G, pronounced GIF. End of story.
And you'll be reported to the cyber police.
The cyber police are coming to get us if we say it wrong.
Consequences will never be the same, because you done goofed.
There you go. You done goofed if you call it wrong, if you call it something else. So apparently it's called
a GIF.
GIF.
Yes. That's what the creator says.
Okay.
What do you think? Because there is an explanation here.
All right. Well, anyway, the GIF, whatever you want to call it, the Graphics Interchange Format, is a image format that was introduced by CompuServe in 1987.
CompuServe.
Yeah. It is used widely on the internet due to its wide support and portability. It can support 8 bits per pixel, thus allowing a single image to reference a palette of up to 256 distinct colors chosen from a 24-bit red, green, and blue color space. So
that was very technical.
Yeah. I know.
I was like, wow, I didn't realize we were going to...
I did a little bit of research before
Okay.
this. And actually, I had to know a little bit of this for a web design class that I had to take in college. So essentially, it just meant that it was the next way to have a image shown on a computer screen.
It's a file format for photos, or for pictures, for images.
Yes.
But more commonly on the interwebs, it is used as a looped effect, right?
And that's called an animated GIF, whatever you're calling it. Now, here's the thing, and this is why I'm going back to my web design class.
Right.
When I took my web design class, all right, I had a he wasn't a strict teacher, but he liked terminology, and we had people that come in and they would say animated GIFs, and he would go, no, that's peanut butter. That's peanut butter. If you're going to refer to one of these, it's a GIF. Yeah. He whipped everyone into shape.
He was serious.
Yeah.
About
it's not a GIF. No. And yeah. And so just from then on, I consciously would try and say GIF. So now you're telling me, after all these years, it's now GIF all along.
Right. That's what the creator says. And there is an explanation for it. The soft G, they say, you look at words like gin and jibe, which are both spelled G-I. So when it's a G followed by a vowel, it's supposed to be a soft G, as in gin, which would make it GIF. However, the people on the other side of the argument say the hard G comes from the word graphics, so it would be GIF.
Uh-huh.
So, and when you see that arrangement of letters, you don't think gin, you think graphics.
Yeah, I would. GIF. Yeah, that to me makes more sense. And it also, would be based on graphics.
There's an accepted term in our language. GIF is a type of peanut butter.
Yeah.
So you don't, and you know GIF is spelled J-I. So you see G-I and you don't want to say J-I.
Because, yeah, you don't want to say GIF again.
Right. It's interesting because this website that I'm looking on, NBC News, they have a poll and it's split. 42% say GIF and 40% say GIF. Meanwhile, 7% or 11% say nerds.
The other 7% are saying this.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
I mean, really, in all honesty, it doesn't matter at this point. But
what are you
going to
say? Are you going to say GIF or are you going to say GIF? See, now I feel weird saying both of them.
Yeah, I don't care. Like, it's just like, just tell me what it is, you know?
Well, they say GIF, so...
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
You know, as long as we're still able to display images on the internet, I think we're fine.
There you go. That's a simple bottom line.
Yeah. You know, and I'll just call it whatever I have
call
to call
it. Call it a GIF.
I will call it an animated image.
An animated image. There you go.
There we go. That's how I'll get around that.
There you go. Yeah, that's it. Animated image.
Yeah. But for nerds everywhere, it looks like they're going to do battle over this.
Yeah.
Is it GIF or GIF?
The battle of the GIF.
Yeah.
The battle of the GIF.
I don't know who was wrong all along.
The GIF-GIF divide.
Yeah. Someone has got this wrong.
And they will pay for their misdeeds.
Yeah.
It's so overly dramatic.
And you'll be reported to the cyber police. Consequences will never be the same. Because you done goofed.
Yeah, someone has goofed.
And actually, I just read this on this article. That there's a similar format that was created a year earlier than the GIF, which was spelled J-I-F.
Oh, yeah, J-I-F-F. Yeah, is it J-I-F-F? Or...
It says J-I-F.
Oh, okay.
And the two competed briefly. So you can't have two that are named GIF.
Yeah.
So it has to be GIF.
It's something. I don't know anymore.
Who cares?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
Just tell me what it's called, and we'll go from there, all right? Otherwise, I'm just going to say animated image.
There you go.
All right, so there you go. Nice little side dish there.
Yeah, just something to make you think.
Yep, cleanse the palate of our meal.
To get you ready for the...
It's time for the entertainment entree. So what do we got in the entertainment entree?
Well, first up is some pretty big news in the video game world. Microsoft revealed the next Xbox, the Xbox One. And no, I know, I know. Yes,
that's the achievement.
The achievement for
Xbox.
Microsoft.
Confuse everyone.
Right, so it's Xbox One with the one spelled out, because that makes it different than the Xbox, the first Xbox.
Really?
I guess. That's what the name is, Xbox One with the one spelled out.
So, wait. If you say Xbox One, you're referring to the Xbox of the early 2000s.
No, the new one. Xbox One is the new one.
One.
Spelled out.
Spelled out is the new one, but number one.
Xbox One is the third Xbox. And Xbox is the first Xbox.
All right. Fantastic.
And wait, the 360 is the second Xbox.
What?
Yay, counting!
Because I backtraced it.
Yeah, I'm going to need help backtracing this, all right?
Consequences will never be the same. And you'll be reported to the cyber police because you done goofed.
Well, let's see. Did Xbox done goof on this?
I think they did
goof. Already, I'm getting confused.
Right, I think Sony is the only company that understands how counting works. PlayStation 1, PlayStation 2, wait for it, PlayStation 3, and finally...
What's coming out?
PlayStation 4.
Oh, there you go. Right.
Microsoft went Xbox, Xbox 360, and then Xbox One. The Wii doesn't even use numbers. N64, Wii U.
All right, well, all right. Nintendo 64...
Oh, I know.
...is referencing the bit... The number of colors right. that it could use. So
funny.
I understand that.
But
back then, what came next? The GameCube?
Oh, maybe it was the GameCube. Yeah, I forgot about that one.
And that was based on the shape of the thing.
And the
Wii? Odd shape that didn't... Why would you go to optical disc if you couldn't run CDs?
Yeah.
And
then the Wii, because the Wii. When you play, you go, Wii!
Wii!
I guess.
Just like I am when I do Batman.
Yes. And then the Wii U.
And because you... Because you play
something.
I don't know.
Neither do
you,
I. You. I can't really think of a reason for that one. So, anyway, Microsoft revealed the Xbox One, which is the new Xbox, not the first one.
No.
And it created kind of a controversy amongst the gaming community.
Besides
its name. Because in their presentation, they didn't mention the first game until I think it was an hour into the presentation.
What else did they talk about?
TV.
Oh, no.
TV and sports.
Oh, no. Like streaming TV and sports through the Xbox?
Not streaming. Well, yes. Sort of. The Xbox will be an intermediary between the cable box and the TV. So you can say, and of course you can use voice controls because everybody loves shouting at their TV to get it to work.
Ah, turn this game off! Well, all right, we'll do.
Yeah,
no,
then,
no.
And then it turns off. No, it's in overtime. What are you doing?
Oh, yeah, this is going to be perfect.
Yeah. The other thing is that it all ships, all the Xboxes ship with the Kinect, the camera with the microphone, and you're required to have that plugged in for it to work because of the voice controls.
So the Xbox One won't work if you don't have a Kinect?
Yes, but it ships with a Kinect, so...
Okay.
But you still have to have it connected. Here's the problem.
Do you treat it like a controller? So, like, if you don't have a controller...
No, you still need the controller. It's just for the voice thing. So you can say, okay. Xbox, turn on, and it'll turn on.
Aha.
The problem is, if somebody walks into the room and says, you know, Xbox, turn off, and you're in the middle of a game, what then?
So your brother could come down and
yeah,
just...
Yeah, he's pissed at me, Xbox, turn off.
And yeah, then, you better watch out. Bruno's going to ruin your gaming experiences.
Or, like, watch Disney Channel or something, and it'll switch to Disney Channel. Yeah, it's weird. Now, there's a lot of things that people are worried about, such as the voice control thing and the name being weird, but also some questionable policies for used games and online features.
Uh-huh.
So apparently, you have to install the game to the system. It's required.
Okay.
And what that does is it associates it with that system. So I can't lend you a game disc because it's associated with my console. So you won't be able to play it on yours unless I deactivate it from mine or something. It's something weird where you can't just let people borrow games.
You shall not pass!
Wow. So it's essentially, yeah, you cannot pass the game on.
That's right.
It's like, don't copy that floppy, but
exactly.
Don't. Pass that Xbox disc.
Don't legally share your games with your friends. Boo.
Don't pass the Xbox disc on the left-hand side. Yeah, obscure song title. Woo!
Ooh, yeah. But I don't know.
So it's going to be tougher to be to pirate these games.
Yes, but it's also going to be...
You are a pirate!
Yeah, it's going to be tough to do that.
Yeah. So what do you think about these hurdles that they're putting in the way of gamers in order to stop piracy?
To stop piracy.
You are a pirate!
Well, I'll tell you what. Either this is going to drive people to become even more diabolical with how they steal games, or it's just going to turn people off on doing Xbox.
Right.
It sounds to me like this is going way too far.
Right. Especially requiring people to install the game on their hard drive. So the hard drive is 500 gigabytes, and you can't...
That doesn't surprise me, because most games do have some sort of install.
Right, but this is the full game. So okay, a game like Mass Effect, that's 27, 20, 30 gigabytes, you have to install that.
Yeah.
So if you do the math, you can only install like 20 games before you fill up.
Yeah, you're going to have to start selling terabyte hard drives or something.
Well, you can't swap the hard drive.
Really?
Yeah.
It's getting to that now?
You can use external storage, but you can't. Remember how we put in a new hard drive into your PlayStation?
Yeah.
Can't do that with the Xbox One.
What?
So 500 gigabytes, and you have movies, you have music, you have all. You have to install these huge games because, as you know, the games are only going to get bigger.
Yeah.
They're not going to get smaller.
And if you're downloading high-definition movies, that takes up a good chunk.
Downloadable content, save files.
I don't know. This is starting to sound bad news to me.
Yeah. Especially, and the always-on thing, they say that developers can use Microsoft's cloud services to help with rendering games. Sounds like a good idea. Unlimited computational power. What about people that don't have internet access? Those games won't be able to be played at all if developers use always online features.
And I'll tell you what, that would hurt like college kids.
That would.
You know?
Because they don't have reliable.
Sometimes you don't have a reliable internet connection in your dorm. Right.
And that's the other thing. The system has to, I forget what it was, authenticate itself once every couple of days by doing an online check. There's a lot of ifs here. There's a lot of iffy things that people are worried about. Do you think they have a right to be worried with all this stuff going on?
I mean, I'm trying to, I know I'm a PlayStation guy through and through.
Right, same here.
So I'm really trying to be objective about it. But going over the list that you've described me, I don't know why I would get that console.
And they didn't sell people on games either. Because I watched part of the conference and they talked about TV. It was all about TV. They said they have 17 or 15 exclusives coming out the first year of the release, but they didn't show any.
So maybe it's just BS?
I don't think it's BS, but I think if you're a game console, you're a game console first and everything else second.
Yeah.
But all they talked about was how you can watch The Price is Right. Honestly, they had a segment about watching The Price is Right.
Did they play that?
I don't think so. But that's how a lot of gamers felt. And of course, you have the other side of the argument that say, but it's revolutionary. And it kind of is because you can multitask, true multitasking. So you can have half of the screen be an internet browser and the other half the video game and stuff like that. That's pretty cool. But the fact that they hyped up the TV and the sports integration so much worries me because they didn't focus on the reason you buy a game console. Why do you buy a game console, Rich?
Because you want to play video games. Yeah. Right.
If I want to watch TV, I'll go sit down on the couch and turn on the TV.
Yeah. Or I'd go to Netflix.
Or Hulu.
Or
YouTube. Or anywhere.
Yeah. Or other unmentionable sources that we cannot name due to legal lawsuits and piracy.
You are a pirate!
I'm so glad we were able to use that clip. That makes me happy.
I've never heard that. This is like 13 episodes in and you've never played that.
I've been waiting for that one.
You are a pirate.
It's so succinct.
Yeah, you're a pirate.
It's very, you are a pirate.
And it's happy.
I don't know what that's from or what it's about, but, well, I know what it's about. It's about pirates.
Whoa, really?
Yeah.
Oh, good for you.
A good one, Mike.
Well, thank you.
Christian Bale does not find that amusing.
But so that's the Xbox reveal. Another interesting tidbit, it's also using Blu-ray. So
Xbox finally gave up on
acknowledging
the Blu-ray.
Yeah.
It used to be HD DVD.
Yeah, that worked out real well.
Whoops.
In console design, you make an error.
Whoops.
So
we'll see. Maybe they'll make some changes. Maybe they'll do some audibles on
maybe.
This.
I mean,
that sounds like a bad system to me.
Yeah. I don't know if it'll be a disaster, but I think the presentation of it was. You know?
Okay.
Like, the console might be great, but how they presented it to the public was pretty much a disaster. Everybody was confused and sort of not upset, but just disappointed at how it went. They do have a Halo TV series coming out. They spent some good time talking about that. And also, they can make dogs in Call of Duty.
Dogs?
Yes, which they could already do. But now the dogs. You should watch the conference, the presentation. They spent a good amount of time talking about.
I don't think I need to listen to how they can make dogs.
No,
in Call
you do,
of Duty.
Rich, because now it has fur and a tattoo inside of its ear. This is what the next gen is about.
Tattoos on the dog's ear in Call of Duty. Instead of the bullets and the guns that you can shoot with and the. also, rocket launchers.
I think it's weird that they picked a third-party game to talk about their system rather than an exclusive. If you have Halo and Gears of War, why wouldn't you talk about them? Why would you talk about a game that's on all the consoles?
Yeah, like usually when PlayStation talks about its console, they'll do God of War. Yeah,
Infamous and Uncharted and all that stuff. That is weird. So you see,
Nintendo would lead with Mario.
Of course.
So you're bringing out your strongest stuff first.
Everything about the presentation to me said they weren't targeting gamers.
Well, maybe that's the case. Maybe they are.
I think that is. They say they want to own the living room, but they're going to end up alienating part of the gaming crowd.
Well, yeah, are they willing to own the living room for the sake of not owning the gamer?
Maybe.
Maybe.
We'll have to see.
That makes me happy to be a PlayStation guy. I'm sorry.
I feel like PlayStation's going on the right track. When they had their presentation, it was all about the games, all about the gamer. You know, they seem to have their vision aligned with everybody else's.
Props to PlayStation. Woo!
And we have a much cooler sound for our trophies.
Yeah, I like our sound better. Versus the clunky...
It sounds very computery.
Yeah.
It's like you have a notification on the computer rather than a major award.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah. I want to see the dad from A Christmas Story come out and say it's a major award when I earn something in a video game. Wouldn't that be great?
That would be great.
Yeah, but what is that? It's a major award. A major award? Shucks, I wouldn't know, Dad. It looks like a lamp.
But it's a lamp, you nincompoop. But it's a major award. I want it.
Damn hell, you say you want it?
Yeah. Mind power, sweet. Mind power.
Yeah.
It's a major award.
It's a major award.
I want it. We should start a petition to Sony or Microsoft or anybody.
I want that clip.
Yeah.
Instead
of the ding or whatever, I want, it's a major award. I want it.
Yeah, I want it.
Although that would get annoying after a while. You're like in the middle of an intense cutscene. It's a major award. Would you kindly? Like, it's a major award.
Right in the middle of like BioShock or something, you know. A man chooses.
It's a major award.
It's a major award.
I won it. Well, that would work at the end of the game. I won it.
Aha! You've been welcomed to Rapture. You've made it through the first bathysphere. I'm Atlas. Pick up that electronic radio. And then you pick up the radio. You know, and then he's trying to give you his whole speech, you know. I've never been one to question Providence. It's a major war!
I just want to point out that your Atlas, I think you know where I'm going with this, sounds like Buckeye Chuck.
Oh no! It's Buckeye Chuck?
That's what it sounded like.
Did I cross through?
I'm Atlas. I'm Buckeye Chuck.
Buckeye Chuck here.
I can't do Atlas.
Buckeye Chuck here. I need you to pick up that radio. Would you kindly pick up that radio?
I can't do Atlas's accent.
It's very hokey Irish.
Yeah.
Like, it's over-the-top Irish. Like,
yeah.
Almost like leprechaunish, but deep-voiced leprechaun.
Shaw, 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 shaw. You'll never get me Lucky Charms.
Hi, y'all. Welcome to Rapture. I don't know. I'm bad.
You'll never get me Adam. A man chooses a slave obey. Shaw, 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 shaw.
Yes.
Did we just create a new character?
Yes. Yeah, you need to be in charge of that.
Oh, no.
Irish BioShock. Full out Irish Bioshock. Yeah. Lando BioShock.
Shaw, shaw, shaw. Is a man not entitled to the sweat of his brow? No, says the man in Washington. All right, I'm done with that.
Oh, there you go. All right, well, anyway, there you go. That's our little video game segment.
Totally unplanned, but... Oh, well, we did mention the Xbox, and then we kind of talked about Christmas Story.
It's okay. It happens.
Yeah, it happens.
All right, so what's our next topic?
Well, we wanted to talk about John Williams. He has been talking about the new Superman movie, Man of Steel, and of course, about Star Wars Episode 7.
Oh, wow.
Right. He said that he hasn't seen the new Superman movie, but watching it will be bittersweet, not because of the new music, but because he just thinks of Christopher Reeves excellent performances as Superman.
Yeah.
So, and but they didn't invite him back to do the music. It's being done by Hans Zimmer this time.
Oh, well, yeah, Hans
who
Zimmer.
Who is also an excellent composer.
Came up with the Inception theme.
Which people that have been following the show know that we love very dearly, the movie Inception.
Yeah. But you're saying that, I mean, did he say, so wait, he feels bad about not being on the new Superman? Or
no, he says that he says, I haven't seen it, but I'm sure it will be wonderful. I don't know if they've used any of the original music or not. It's a Warner Brothers film, in which case they certainly have the right to do so. I hope it will be successful, and I look forward to seeing it. He says it's bittersweet, though, because he remembers Christopher Reeve's performances. Yeah. So it's bittersweet in that regard, but not because he wasn't part of it.
Yeah.
But he is looking forward to possibly doing Star Wars 7.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, right. Is it?
It's not official yet, but he confirms that there have been talks about his returning, and he has nothing but positive things to say about J.J. Abrams. So, and we talked about J.J. Abrams last week, I think.
Yes, we did. John Williams, just a brilliant composer.
Oh,
just almost
an amazing composer.
Like almost any.
Go.
Yeah, I'll get, yeah, get got the Star Wars music on. But yeah, just almost any movie from the 70s and 80s that was a cultural hit, chances are John Williams was behind the music behind it.
He was, you're talking about Jaws and Star Wars and even E.T.
Oh, yeah.
And he did a whole bunch of other ones that I'm just blanking on right now. Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
So
do you think they'll bring him back for the new Star Wars movie?
Oh, they have to. How could you have Star Wars without John Williams?
I guess so.
with the famous crawl music and... I mean, when that fanfare hits you, you know, after they have a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, and it's that opening fanfare...
There you go, how loud it is.
Scared me. Even though I played it.
Mike jumped out of his seat there.
Well, we're wearing these headphones, and it's like cranked up to 11.
Yeah, we're not on 10.
Yeah.
These go up to 11. Anyway.
Which is why I'm going partially deaf.
Yep. And it's worth it for Star Wars music.
That's right. No, I mean, but you see, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, and then it hits you.
And yeah, this has to be.
It's incredible. It's incredible.
John Williams has to be in it. Has to be.
I think he will be. Yeah. I think he will be.
I hope so.
If I were J.J. Abrams, I'd make that like a top priority.
Must get John Williams.
Is securing John Williams. That was a huge part of that franchise, was the music of it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, now, I know nobody likes the prequels, but the music.
Even the prequel music is great.
Phantom Menace? Come on. Duel of the Fates?
Yeah. Here, I'll pull that up for you. We're going all around the John Williams scope here.
Of course.
Oh, that intense music. The chorus there.
He's also in charge of the 20th Century Fox fanfare that we use.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
There you go. See, even more things.
He
that,
did
you know.
The Olympics music. I mean, he's everywhere.
Yeah.
The 20th century, he will be like, I don't know, like the Beethoven of the 20th century.
Yes.
I mean, him and Michael Giacchino is the other one.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you know many of his stuff?
What movies did he do?
Well, one that I know you will know is Up.
Okay.
Yeah. The theme from Lost. The Star Trek movies.
Okay.
So.
Yeah.
But those two and Hans Zimmer are just brilliant.
Just interesting there. I hope I hope that John Williams comes back for Star Wars Episode 7, you know?
I think he will.
Yeah, they got
it. It seems like a no-brainer.
Yeah.
I think that they should do anything to get him back.
And if George Lucas still has any pull with the movie, they'll bring him back.
Yeah.
Because they worked so well together.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
All right. What's next on our list?
Well, another musical item...
Woo, music!
You had mentioned something about Ricky Gervais and his character, David Brent.
Yes. So right now, you know, just in time, actually, for, you know, the Office finale and all the hoopla surrounding
that.
That's
right, of course.
Ricky Gervais is bringing back David Brent on YouTube, and he's doing, just every now and then, David Brent does YouTube, you know, has a couple videos, you know, with, you know, life with David Brent after the British office. And it's been pretty fun. I've been enjoying it.
Well, we have that one clip that we really enjoy.
Oh, yes, of course.
Bum.
Whenever we play our Billy Bung, it's from David Brent.
Yo.
Yep. Yo. And that was the finished product. There was an acoustic version of that that he did too.
Deo, 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 messe deo. Billy, 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 bong, yo.
Billy Bong, definitely.
And I helped the guy at the end. Billy Bong, definitely.
Definitely. Oh, yeah.
Has to be part of the song, Billy Bong. So, yeah, so he's going through these, you know, funny YouTube videos.
So what has Ricky Gervais / David Brent done now?
Yeah, this is the character of David Brent. And what they did was, for YouTube Comedy Week, Ricky Gervais brought back David Brent in a fake series that David Brent did after The Office. Claims that David Brent did after The Office.
Right.
Called Learn Guitar with David Brent.
Ah.
And in this fake video, David Brent, you know, he goes over how to play guitar, but in the David Brent character style. But what's more interesting, and the thing that I just love about this, is he releases another song, which I'm wondering where Ricky Gervais is actually pulling all these songs. I wonder if he had this...
I guess he's all ready to go
before the office ended, or if he was doing this in the meantime.
I think he does play music, because one time he guest starred on The Simpsons and he had a musical segment.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Oh, there you go.
I think he is a musician, somewhat at least.
Well, anyway, as the character David Brent in this video called "Learn Guitar with David Brent," he releases a new song.
All right.
David Brent coming out with a new song. And according to him, it's about the rough life being on the road.
Oh, yeah?
As a traveling salesman in England.
Oh, okay. It's a very common profession.
Yep. The song is called Life on the Road. It's a very short song, so we'll get to play the whole thing.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah, we'll see how you like it. This is his dramatic on-the-road song as a traveling salesman in England called Life on the Road. So let's play the clip.
Tank should get me to Millbank. I fill her up and head down to Sidcup. It's just a meeting, it's only fleeting. It's just a pitch and then I'm up to Ipswich. Life on the road, don't need a heavy load. Foot down to the floor, 70 miles an hour but no more. Strictly business, I'm killing it in witness. Then to Gloucester, I get a Costa. Hard shoulder, coffee holder. Life on the road, don't need a heavy load. Foot down to the floor, 70 miles an hour, but never more.
That gives you an idea of my life. So it brings it to life.
I love that closing bit. Yeah. So that brings my life to life.
Then the throat clear.
Oh, I just...
What do you say, 70 miles an hour?
But no more. That's the speed limit. So yeah, he's so... You know, angst, full of angst with life on the road, but can't go more than 70 miles per hour.
You must obey the law while being angsty.
Yeah. And I just, and then I love the random rhyme between cold shoulder, coffee holder. Yeah. What? that sounds like a David Brent line. Just something to rhyme. We need something. Coffee holder.
it around Boulder.
Boulder. Oh, there you go.
Cold shoulder. Look at that boulder. Coffee holder.
Yeah. Life on the road, man.
70 miles an hour, but no more.
But no more. So there you go. If you thought that was fascinating, check out the official Ricky Gervais YouTube channel and search Learn Guitar with David Brent for the new song by David Brent, Life on the Road.
I might have to check out his other songs because the Biddly Bum one is really good and that one was pretty entertaining.
Yeah. 70 miles an hour, but no more. So dramatic, right? Just, you know, so full of angst, you know, you just...
I'm so angry all the time, I want to drive fast, but I can't go more than 70 miles an hour!
It's the speed limit, I can't do anything about that. Just like I can't do anything about the government, or with my life.
I have a coffee holder.
Cold shoulder.
My shoulder's been cold for quite some time now.
Coffee holder.
My coffee holder can't hold my cold shoulder. Look at that damn boulder. That's like my life right now.
So there you go. If you want to check it out, go to the Ricky Gervais YouTube channel. All right, so there you go. Nice little tidbit there. And one last topic in the entertainment entree.
Just a brief mention. Recently, a working Apple I computer was sold at auction for $668,000.
Whoa!
Yeah, that's impressive.
Yeah, usually computers don't increase in value with age.
No. It was so shocking, it made you hiccup.
Yes, it did.
You're right, no, computers don't increase in value.
No.
But this is a historic computer. This is an Apple I from 1976. This is one of the first Apple computers to ever be released.
Hey, if this guy can make money off of this Apple I computer, man.
Yeah, I want to know the lucky guy that had that just lying around. Like, hey, I wonder if this is worth something.
Yeah. Hey, let me plug it in. Hey, it works.
Hey, it works.
Let me go on eBay, see if anybody wants to buy it. What's $600,000?
That made his day.
Yeah.
That made his year.
Yeah, you can live comfortably on that for a little bit.
Yeah,
I didn't think an old computer would be worth that.
Yeah, I'm just reading some of the article here. The launch price of the Apple I was, this is weird, $666.66.
What?
Yeah, that's like really ominous.
Get back, demon! Look at me!
Get back, demon!
That's why Apple is so successful now, because they made a pact with the devil.
Oh, no!
And the devil said, you have to sell your first computer priced at 666.
Uh-oh, are you thinking what I'm thinking?
I might be, I don't know. What are you thinking?
Uh-oh. Number of the beast. All hail Satan. An apple.
An apple? Isn't that the same thing?
Oh! Iron Maiden might know something about this.
Yeah.
Should we call them up?
Maybe. Good song.
Yeah.
Good song.
You know, Iron Maiden, you know, every now and then you got to go back into the collection and pull out some Maiden.
Oh, yeah.
We actually have a member of the crew over at the radio station I work at. They call him Frick Maiden because he's such a Iron Maiden head. So.
Oh, that's cool.
Maybe he might know something about this.
Maybe.
I'm going to have to get in contact with him, Frick Maiden. If he's listening to the podcast, we're going to need your help. We need to find out what's going on with the Number of the Beast.
We need to get to the bottom of this.
Yeah. So anyway, there you go. Maybe a link. The Devil, Apple, Iron Maiden.
They're all in on it.
All of them.
It's a conspiracy. I don't know what the conspiracy is about, but it's about something.
Yes. And it has to involve the Number of the Beast, 666. So there you go.
That conversation took a weird turn.
Yes, it did, but, you know...
Oh, my gosh.
Is this the crispy noodle?
The auction price was $668,000, so it was only $2,000 off of being 666 again.
Oh my gosh, that's creepy.
Isn't it?
You know, there's actually a fear of the number 666.
Well, here's the thing. I heard this once on the History Channel.
Ah, so you know. Yes. So it must be true.
Yes, it must be true.
All right.
That when they were translating those ancient texts, that they got it wrong. They mistranslated one of the numbers, and the number of the beast, the number, the devil's number, is like 650-something, not 666. There's something, you know, something I saw on the History Channel once. I don't know.
Yeah, it was estimated.
Give or take a few.
Satan doesn't really care.
Satan doesn't have time for specifics, okay? He's a very busy person damning all of our souls, okay?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Hey, you know, we could use some warmth with the cold weather here.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Oh, my gosh. All right, are you ready for this?
I guess. I don't know.
I'm going to butcher this to hell, and this is probably going to be a clip.
Okay. Well, then it must be good.
The fear of the number 666 has a name.
Okay. Oh, boy. I know you love pronouncing these exotic names.
Heck. Hexacosiohexaconahexaphobia. Wait, I think I might have pronounced that right.
Was that the whole word?
I'm not making this up.
Oh, my God. That's a word.
Google. All right. Right now, if you're listening to this podcast, Google.
I can't even.
Google the fear of 666, and you will see this word I'm trying to pronounce. Hexacosiohexaconahexaphobia. I think I pronounced it right. I am the Satan's number proclaimer. I'm sure your parents would like that.
Yeah, they're probably going, what are they doing? Are they worshiping Satan down there again?
Again?
Again? They do this every weekend.
Yeah, this is what we do after the podcast. You know, we go over in the corner and worship Satan.
Oh, my gosh. I don't even, you know, you did a good job pronouncing that number. I don't even want to try. Because this, please, everybody, look up this word. It's pretty sure it has
so many letters
like 100 letters in it.
If you're curious to see the word I'm trying to pronounce, Google fear of 666 and you'll see the word I'm trying to pronounce.
Oh, wait. I want to try something. I'm going to look it up on dictionary.com and have it say it.
Oh, yeah. I can pronounce it? All right. Let's see how close I was to the actual pronunciation. In the meantime, prominent examples of people who had fears of 666. You ready for this? President Ronald Reagan.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yes. After he was president, in 1989, he was moving to his new home in the Bel Air section of Los Angeles. The original address of his home was supposed to be 666 St. Cloud Road, but he asked the post office to change his address to 668 St. Cloud Road because he didn't like the number.
Wow.
Yeah, so apparently if you're the president, you can do some stuff like that. The phobia of the number 666 is featured in The Omen, and in The End of Days, and one of your favorite movies, Pulp Fiction.
Oh, wow.
The briefcase.
Oh, that's right.
The
that's
briefcase.
Right.
Yep, the number and the number to unlock the briefcase in Pulp Fiction is 666.
Okay. Well, I think I found, this isn't dictionary.com, but this is a website, Forvo, where people upload their pronunciation of the word. So let's give this a shot and see what it sounds like.
Hexacosiohexacontahexaphobia.
Whoa! That was way too fast for me.
Anyway, there's another one. This is a female voice.
Hexacosiohexacontahexaphobia.
All right, I definitely didn't say that fast.
They're saying that way too fast for me.
I think I did a pretty good job with my pronunciation.
You did do a good job. You did such a good job. I'm afraid to even try it because I know I'll butcher it. But yeah, it's that giant word with like seven H's and X's in it.
Also, one more interesting tidbit. The Dutch Christian organization, the Stichting Opwerking, English name Revival Foundation, wrote their songbook. And in their songbook, they had a hymn that was supposed to be the 666th hymn in the book, but actually skipped the number in the printing because, quote, of sensitivity amongst their people. So they were afraid to have a hymn that was number 666. So they skipped it.
Wow.
So there you go. Just some, you know.
That's fascinating.
Just some things that, you know, this isn't a fake, you know, thing that we just made up on the spot. This is real.
Well, there's a phobia for almost everything.
Yeah.
But if you look up, like, lists of phobia, you'll be shocked at the things that there are fears of.
Hey, last week we had the girl that was afraid of pickles.
That's right.
You know?
The pickles.
The pickle girl. You know,
she had that breakdown.
Yeah, the poor pickle girl.
What was it if you go to a place and...
she was a waitress.
She was a waitress.
That was the kicker. She was a waitress.
What if somebody wanted pickles and she was like, oh, it doesn't, you know, too bad. They're not getting
them. Too bad. If you don't know what we're talking about, check out the previous episode because, yeah, we had a...
That was a fun segment.
We mentioned a girl that was afraid of pickles and she was a waitress.
That was in the odd news, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is not odd news. We're still in entertainment entree.
Right. This originally started with a segment about Apple.
Yeah. Yep. So Apple must be the devil. There you go. It has come to this.
That's a popular opinion amongst people anyway. That Apple is the devil.
Save us, Bill Gates. What was that?
This is my computer. Sorry.
Yeah. See, your Apple computer is rebelling against us.
It's making noises. I tried to quit out of a program. It's like, oh, what do you want to save? Like, no, just close.
You will not quit this program.
It was a Microsoft program.
Oh, Microsoft is in on it. Linux is our hero. All hail Linux. But all right. There you go. That's enough. There you go. Yeah. The entertainment entree has taken a very weird turn.
A satanic turn.
Oh, yeah. What a topic.
You never know when we might delve into the dark arts here on the Crispy Noodle.
Apparently. I'm sure your neighbors probably just heard me scream, Hail Satan. I don't know what I said. I'm Satan's name pronouncer or something. Yeah. So apparently your neighbors are going to think you worship Satan. No big whoop. Yeah.
Hey, it'll keep away the door-to-door Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yeah. Hey, we're fine. We worship the devil.
We have discovered our Savior. His name is Satan. Would you like to come in and worship with us?
Yeah.
We're just beheading the chicken.
So, with that over, do you know what it's time for?
Well, I guess we're going from one bizarre thing to another with the non-fortune cookie news.
That's right. Woo!
So, sit back. Get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders and go to the bathroom because you're in for a hell of a ride.
All right, it's our weekly dose of odd news. I got 5 stories here. You ready?
All right, let's do this. Let's do the first one.
All right, the first story. While remodeling his newly purchased home in Elbow Lake, Minnesota, David Gonzalez noticed something unusual amid the old newspapers that had been used as wall insulation. Deep beneath the newspapers was a copy of Action Comics number 1 from 1938, which, if you're a comic book geek, you know that it's the very first comic ever to feature Superman.
Wow. That is an awesome find.
Gonzalez says, I knew it would probably be worth money, but I had no idea how much. Well, the answer is a lot. It was on the auction block for 3 weeks. Guess how much the high bid was for it?
I don't know. An Apple One went for $668,000, so I'm going to say...
It's not an Apple One.
I don't know.
$113,000, for a comic book. That is not bad, considering Gonzalez only bought the rundown house for $10,000. He already made a $100,000 profit on the house.
That is a good day of work right there.
So, if you got a small fortune and you want the copy of it, the auction ends June 11th. So, you can go...
See
if you can buy it.
I better get the $200,000 I have lying around and just spend it on a comic book.
Yeah.
You don't?
Make sure to check your insulation. You might have some extra loot in there.
I'm going to go check the attic.
Yeah. You ready for the next story?
Yeah.
An anonymous thief has attempted to make up for years of beer theft... by leaving a stack of $20 bills and an apology letter to the owner. The owner of the oft-rated beer fridge has a message for the repentant burglar. Come back and have a beer with us. All is forgiven.
Oh, wow.
Dee and Leo Samad have maintained a welcoming backyard for years and have replenished a 12-foot bar that includes a beer tap and a fridge full of beer. The Kentucky residents would leave the fridge unlocked so that friends and neighbors could help themselves to a drink and repay the favor on an honor system. But eventually, Leo couldn't help but notice that someone was treating that a little too much. There was a time for a while that my husband kept saying, I know I put a case of beer in there, and there's only 5 or 6 cans left. But what are you going to do? Eventually, we did put locks on it. Eventually, the couple got tired of using the lock, and then the thefts continued again. But on Sunday, the couple found a surprise on their back porch, a folded note. I came out and picked it up, and it was thick. I unfolded it, and there was $140 in the envelope. The newspaper explains that the newspaper, excuse me, that the note explained that the longtime beer thief had recently found religion and wanted to make things right.
Well, there you go.
The note read, "Dear homeowner, enclosed is a sum of cash that my friends and I owe you and your family to repay you for all the times we have stolen from your poolside fridge and bar over the past few years. I hope you will accept my most sincere apology for trespassing as well as feeling entitled to take what was not mine. The amount is a rough estimate, and I realize no amount will completely satisfy the anger that you may have. But the couple said that the note has left them feeling anything but angry, and they feel that all is forgiven and would welcome them back with another beer."
Wow. That was a nice story.
Yeah. It's all thanks to God, apparently.
Yeah.
God and beer! Woo!
Which is weird because the first half of the show was about Satan.
Yeah. I don't know what we're doing now.
Did we find religion?
Maybe we did. We're back on God's side, apparently.
Hey,
now.
If God's got beer.
Yeah, that's the important question. Which side has the beer?
Exactly. Well, God's a fan of wine, so that's something.
I guess he's got the, I don't know. Whichever side has the alcohol, that's the side we'll go with. We are so moral on this show.
Yeah, I know.
You know?
First we're worshiping Satan, and then we're saying, God, you can buy us with booze.
We are the pillars of ethics here.
Oh, yeah.
On this show.
Going straight to hell.
We're going somewhere. I don't
we're
know
going
where.
Somewhere.
I have no idea.
Ohio. It's just as bad.
Whichever, the bottom line is, whichever side has the booze, we'll be with. That's our decree. All right, you ready for the next story?
Yeah. Is there more Satan and or God worship in this story?
No. Okay. But something else you might find interesting.
Okay.
And it's local, too.
Ah.
This might be worse. We're heading to New Jersey.
Oh, no.
Oh. Sticking it to New Jersey. Sorry.
It's our job.
Yeah.
From the Philadelphia area, we have to.
You know.
It's like part of a legally binding contract.
Every now and then, you got to stick it to Jersey.
Yeah.
Stupid devils. Hey, they're named the Devils.
There you go.
Maybe there's something going
on. What a
I don't
connection.
Know. New Jersey Devils. All right, anyway. You ready for this story?
Yeah.
A goat that was possibly headed to the slaughterhouse made a daring and dangerous escape into
Whoa.
Traffic in a busy highway in New Jersey.
They make it sound like a James Bond thing. Dangerous and daring escape.
Jimmy Goat or something.
Jimmy Goat.
I'm James Goat.
Bah! The name's
Goat. James Goat.
I love a vodka martini.
Aww. Oh, God. You know it's late when you just start making animal noises. So how did it make this daring escape?
The sure-footed animal, it managed to evade five Jersey City police officers
wow.
for almost 2 hours, zigzagging across lanes of traffic on the Pulaski Skyway, causing traffic jams and a minor accident.
I love this goat right now.
The goat, which managed to come out of the incident uninjured, was dubbed Sky by police. Skyfall, Sky!
Oh, there you go!
Another James Bond reference, maybe. The goat had good reason to flee. According to news stations, the animal was tagged and likely to be on its way to the slaughterhouse. The feisty animal eventually tired out, allowing officers to surround it and wrap it up. Sky's luck has changed. The brown horned creature was taken to the Humane Society in Jersey City and will eventually be transferred to a farm where it will live.
Well, there you go. Well, hey, if this goat's got the balls to escape and then run around on the highway for 2 hours.
Yeah, unbelievable. five Jersey City police officers and for 2 hours causing traffic jams and a minor accident. Just running across the highway. That's what it was doing.
I don't think that's a goat.
That is a goat.
That is an actual
goat. That sound effect is a goat.
Oh my gosh.
So, Jersey City spokesman Stan Anson said that if it can survive running around the Plancy Skyway for 2 hours, it can live. That's what it was doing on the Skyway.
Let me tell you, if I'm a cop and I'm going up a goat against a goat that's screaming like that, I'm just going to back off and let it do whatever it wants to do.
You can cause whatever traffic jams you want to do.
That's just downright frightening. I never knew goats could scream like that until I saw those videos of the goats screaming. I can just picture a goat running down the highway screaming its head off. Jimmy, do you realize in the past 15 minutes we've talked about Satan, God, James Bond, and goats?
Welcome to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Yes. It's like a normal day for us.
Yeah. No big whoop.
All right, so what do we got next?
All right. All right, now we're going to go local. We're bringing it back to Philly.
Oh, boy. Even more local.
For bicyclist Rudy Salda, you can say a cat is his co-pilot because Saldia buzzes around Philadelphia with his feline called Mary Jane, which is perched on his shoulder as he rides around on his bike. Their urban adventures have turned heads on the street and have garnered big hits on YouTube with their videos on how the cat drives with him in the bike, or how he bikes with the cat.
So the cat perches on his shoulder, did you say?
Yep.
So like a parrot?
Kind of, yeah.
That's pretty cool. I'm not going to lie. That's pretty cool.
The 26-year-old bike courier didn't intend to become internet famous. He originally just shot footage of the outings only to prove to his mom that he would take the cat, Mary Jane, out for a spin. Sauda used a GoPro sports camera mounted on his bike to capture images of him and MJ, which is what he calls Mary Jane, the cat, which is a brown and black tabby with bright yellow eyes. She takes the trips in stride, even nuzzling her owner as he pedals along, though sometimes she gets scared by sirens and buses in Philly. I bet the SEPTA buses would do something with that. They're scary.
What happens when the cat gets scared? I just hope the cat doesn't, like, jump off or anything. That'd be sad.
Yeah. His first video that features the cat and him bicycling together has already more than 1.2 million views on YouTube.
Wow.
Yeah, he's getting famous for
this. So it's just him riding a bike with a cat?
Yeah, a cat on his shoulder.
That's worth how many views? 1.2?
1.2 million.
Wow.
And he's actually gotten a GoPro spokes deal out of this. Spokeswoman Anne Marie Haynes of GoPro saw the video earlier this year and was blown away. She reached out to Saldia and used his footage in a camera ad, and they became business partners.
So wow,
he's
look
now,
at that.
Yeah, he's making money off of this.
Who's the real star, though, him or the cat?
Well, he's the one making money off of it. Saldia says, people are thrilled to see the guy with the cat ride his bike down the street, and that's me. There you go. He's driving around. He's biking around with the cat. Hopefully, SEPTA doesn't come anywhere close to this cat, because I don't want anything bad to happen.
Yeah, I'd feel really bad if something bad happened to this cat.
Yeah.
My cat's name is Mittens.
No, Ralph. This is...
It's Mary Jane.
This is Mary Jane.
It makes me think of Spider-Man.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. That was the
his girlfriend's name, Mary Jane.
In the first trilogy. Yeah. Directed it?
Sam Raimi.
Yeah, that's Sam Raimi Spider-Man trilogy.
Well, that's his girlfriend in the comics too. Although not anymore because they took that out. They retconned it.
He's so fluffy, I'm gonna die.
That's what the kids say in Philly as he's riding down the street with the cat.
He's so fluffy, I'm gonna die.
So there you go. There you might. Hey, we're in Philly. We might see him.
Yeah. If you see somebody with a cat on their shoulder, we'll know that it's.
You know what? Even better. If you know the guy with the cat on the shoulder, tell him to email the Crispy Noodle Podcast @gmail.com. We would love to have him and Mary Jane on the show.
Yeah, we could interview them and ask them how they bicycle with a cat on his shoulder.
He's so peppy, I'm gonna die.
Who are we kidding? We just want to play with a cat.
Yeah, we love cats. All right, you ready for one last story?
All right, one last story.
This one is pretty good.
Okay.
The police in Madison, Wisconsin have made a press conference, a very important press conference.
Oh, boy.
This is so important, this might need dramatic music. Police have come out and said in a very important news conference,
okay,
that a man who's been known as the Thong Cape Scooter Man...
Is this still a very serious press conference?
Very serious press conference.
Very serious. Business.
He is not breaking the law and they cannot arrest him.
Wow.
A man who wears thong underwear and a cape while riding his scooter through Wisconsin's capital city may be a strange sight, but police say he's not breaking any laws and they cannot arrest him. Earlier this month, staff at JFK Elementary School in Madison called authorities after the man rode by... in his unmentionables while students were walking to a bus. Police spokesman Joel Despain tells the local newspaper that a sergeant had a chat with the person that the police called Thong Cape Scooter Man. He admitted that he should not...
Doesn't he have a real name? They're just going to keep calling him Thong Cape Scooter Man?
Not yet.
What, Thong Cape Scooter Man?
There's no name. He admitted that he should not have rode past the school. He said that he did it unintentionally. But the police say he did not break any laws.
Hold on, that's got to be some type of law.
According to Wisconsin police, he did not break any laws, and it seems the Thong Cape Scooter Man is free to ride on!
It's like a really messed up superhero.
Be not afraid! The Thong Cape Scooter Man is here!
Here, wait, I'll play,
Superman.
It's the Thong Cape... What is that?
It's Superman on a weird trip right now.
It's a bird. It's a plane. No, it's Thong Cape Scooter Man.
Yay!
Riding in to save the day of
people with too many clothes on.
Yes, give me your clothes, noble citizen, before they strangle you to death.
You are too conservative, good sir. I feel like this is a really bad game of Whose Line Is It Anyway, Superheroes. Yeah. I'm Thong Cape Scooter Man. Thank God you're here, Thong Cape Scooter Man.
Ah, oh, yes. We have to save the day from angry something or others. From runaway goats.
The goats are on the loose in Jersey.
Yes.
Please help them. Oh my gosh.
Wow.
The Thong Cape Scooter Man.
They've got to come up with a catchier name, though, than Thong Cape Scooter Man.
Buckeye Chuck here.
Oh no.
I've come.
What are you doing, Buckeye Chuck?
I need to come out with an official announcement. I am not the Thong Cape Scooter Man, nor do I have any affiliation with the city of Madison, Wisconsin.
Then why
are
you here?
Sometimes I might venture into the area and like to take off my heavy set clothes that I do not like.
Are you wearing a cape right now?
No, it's a blanket.
Okay, it checks out.
The bell knows what I'm talking about.
Ah.
Oh my gosh.
Thong Cape Scooter Man. I keep on trying to say Superman.
Thong Cape Scooter Man is his official name by police.
His official name.
Yeah. Wow. What I don't know. What else more can you say? Thong Cape Scooter Man.
I do feel like that's a crime, though.
According to Wisconsin police, it's not a crime.
I mean, I guess technically he's covered up.
I guess so. I don't know.
Thong Cape Scooter Man. What possesses people to do these things?
What possesses people
to say, you know what? I feel like wearing a thong today and a cape, and my preferred means of transportation is a scooter.
Maybe he thinks he's going to get laid with it. I don't know.
I highly doubt that. Sure, I'm going to bring a Hot Pocket to bed tonight then. Hey, my theory's better than his theory.
I think so. I think so on that
Thong
one.
Cape Scooter
Man. I think you're more likely to get laid with Hot Pockets than...
That sounds horrible.
Than this guy is with his thong...
Thong Cape Super
thong
Scooter
cape,
Man.
Scooter Man persona. That's what I have in the non-fortune cookie odd news. There you go.
Oh, well, that wraps up... one of our oddest segments, I think.
Yes. Very fun.
Or series fun of segments.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
I mean, after the first side dish, we kind of just careened downhill nonstop.
Worshipping Satan.
Worshipping Satan, then trying to get God to buy us off with booze and chasing goats and thong cape scooter men. It's been a wild ride.
Yes.
But that's the nature of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We hope you found it interesting as well as we did. It's time to celebrate a great show and close out this one, right?
Yep. That's right.
Well, there's the celebration music. That means it's time to end this show, this crazy show of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. What an episode, Mike.
Oh, man. I know. We just so many crazy topics that we talked about today.
Yeah. Which does heaven or hell have booze? We'll find out in our next episode.
Is it GIF or JIF?
Is it GIF or JIF? Is it heaven or hell? Tune in next week. Oh, boy. But anyway, what an episode. So much fun, Mike.
Oh, as always. And we hope you guys have had fun as well.
Yep. If you've enjoyed this, don't forget to check out the website, thecrispynoodle.com, where we've got all of our funny articles. And don't forget to connect us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at The Crispy Noodle. We're everywhere. YouTube, The Crispy
Noodle.
That's
right. And don't forget to subscribe on iTunes as well.
Yeah, and we're on iTunes.
Where you can get each podcast as it comes out. You can download them automatically.
Yep. So, no excuse.
That's right.
So many channels you can find
us. We're everywhere.
On.
You better find us.
If you want to follow us individually on Twitter, I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig.
And I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
All right, Mike, I think that's going to do it for this episode. I've had enough worshiping Satan and worshiping God at the same time for beer.
Yes. Yes.
I think it's about time we go get a beer.
Yeah.
All right. I'm Rich Liebig.
And I'm Michael Costanzo.
the music ended.
Oh, my gosh. Is that a sign?
Uh-oh. I think someone's displeased at us.
Oh, no. That was weird.
Tune in next week to find out which side of the debate is angry at us. Oh, my gosh.
That's never happened before.
No. It just turned off on its own. That was weird.
Wow.
All right. I'm Rich Liebig.
And I'm Michael Costanzo.
And we'll see you guys next week on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
See you guys.
Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life. See you guys.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
All right. Okay.